Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everyone? Certainly is great being back here at the E-Bible. I see a lot of faces that I know, some that I know from my fellowship, we're here to talk about God's Word, so let's get into His Word. Let's start out with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You, first of all, just to thank You, Lord, for another day that You've given us. Thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Father, we ask that You would guide my footsteps, Lord, as I attempt to get into Your Word, Lord. Father, I can't do anything without You, Lord. None of us can. And Father, we ask, Lord, that You would just lead us, guide us, and direct us into the truth of Thy Word. We thank You, Lord. We ask, Father, that You would bless the Japan trip, Lord, as You have gotten them there safely. And also, Father, that the ones that You are calling, the ones that belong to You, that the ones that don't even know that they're Yours, Lord, that they might receive what You would have them to receive, Lord, that Thou might do, that You might do Thy Your work, Lord, because it's all Your work, Father. And we just thank You, Lord. We thank You. And we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. We'll just be looking at a few verses in Amos chapter 5. This book of Amos, I don't know how how many times you've read it or turned to it. It's a very small book in the Old Testament, but it's for us today. It's for us today. Today, and as we get into it, we're going to see that it's talking about our time right now. Our time right now. And in Amos chapter 5, we're going to start at verse 17. We're going to look at verses 17 through 19. We may get to 20, but I'm not sure. We'll see. And it reads as follows. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of Jehovah. To what end is it for you? The day of Jehovah is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of Jehovah be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it. Now, these verses that we just read are for us today. It's a warning that God is telling us. And by the time we get through these few verses, we're going to see that we need to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. Because that's what he's saying here. But let's start off with verse 17. Let's try to dig into his word. In verse 17 of Amos chapter 5, he says, and in all, notice that word, all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith Jehovah. Now, the vineyards are the churches. They're the churches and the congregations that we came out of, the ones that exist now in the churches. That's what the vineyards are. Well, let's see what God has to say about it. Let's look at Matthew chapter 21. God gives us a parable there in Matthew 21. Here we are. Matthew chapter 21, and we'll start at verse 33. We'll go from 33 to 46. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But they sought to lay hands on him. They feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Now, in this parable here, God is equating the vineyards here with the churches of our day. And the Lord Jesus came to the synagogues and they wanted to kill him. And they did eventually kill him, but we know that God was orchestrating everything. We know that. And so, but isn't that like it is today? Isn't it like that today? Look at the churches today. They have their own doctrines. They have a doctrine for this and a doctrine for that. And it's like silencing Christ or his word. Because if you don't obey his word, then you're killing. You're killing. It's like killing us. Like if when you silence the believers, when you don't give them the opportunity to say anything, or you're killing them. It's equivalent to spiritually killing them. And so, and because we're ambassadors of Christ, we're ambassadors. So the same thing that happened to him, really, kind of, in a sense, happens to us, because we get pushed aside. We get, no, I don't want to hear that. Oh, I don't care what the Bible say. Does it, or not being curious to say, well, does the Bible really say that, or this or that? And what's wrong with this doctrine that we have? What's wrong with accepting Christ? And they look at you crazy when you say, well, it's not in Scripture. We got it backwards. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. This is just one example. There are many, many different doctrines that the churches have turned around to suit their own purposes. Now, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 6, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, it's a big difference when you're the one that's saying, well, I'm going to accept you into my life or into my heart. But the Bible is saying the opposite. He's the one that accepts us. And God has placed it right there. But yet, many, many churches and congregations you go in, they'll tell you to say the sinner's prayer, invite Christ into your life, into your heart, and there you have it. And so that's equivalent. So first of all, it's disobeying the word of God, because we just turned everything around, and instead of giving the glory to the Lord, the individual they say, wow, I got two people to accept the Lord. Isn't that what? And they write it down, or they might even say it out. Oh, 10 people accepted the Lord, and this. No, that's man's precepts. And so man gets, as long as you get that pat on the back, you see? And it's all based around pride. It's all based around pride. That's just one example. But what happens is it's like killing the Lord, throwing him out of the vineyard. That's what it's like doing. These like the men in the parable. Now let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 17, he says, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now, here, God is telling us that there is going to come a time, and that time started in 1988. In May of 1980, May 21st, 1988, that's when the judgment started. So this verse, in verse 17, it has already started and come to fruition, and it will end in May 21st, 2011. But it has started already. It has begun already. So the vineyards is now... God is going to, he's judging them. He has been judging them since 1988. Now, we started our information in Amos. You see how the Bible directs us, how the Lord, by His Spirit, He directs us through His Word. It's no man could have wrote this. There's no way. And people say that to you, oh, well, you know, we can't believe this, but we might be able to believe that. No. God wrote the Bible. He wrote it. Okay, let's go back to Amos chapter 6. Maybe if you put a little marker there, that's what I should do. go back to Amos chapter 6. I'm sorry, Amos chapter 5. And say, he says, and all vineyards shall be wailing. Oh, so it's no wonder that they'll be wailing in the vineyards, wailing in the churches. It's no wonder, because God is judging the churches. He's judging them. And now let's take a look at a few places where this word wailing is used. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. And I'll start reading at verse 26. He says, O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning. That's the same word for No, I'm sorry, not mourning. Make thee mourning as for an only son. Most bitter lamentation. That's the word. The same word for wailing in Amos chapter 6 is this word lamentation in Jeremiah. For the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. Verse 27, I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous, revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The billows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because Jehovah hath rejected them. See now, that's what he has done to the churches of our day. He has rejected the churches. Why? Because of the different doctrines that they weren't set up to tell people the wrong things. They were set up to bring people to the Lord. They hear His word, and the Lord uses that word to save an individual. But what happened is it's pushing them away. It's driving them down a wrong path. That's awful. And this is God's word. He holds His word over His name. And no wonder he has these horrible things to say about. Now, they've always been here, but God has opened, He's opening up His word today. He's opening up His word. And so now we have more of His word, the same word, but we have more knowledge of His word today, in our day, because we're in the last days. We're basically the last generation. And so we have to take heed. We have to know. God is telling us over and over and over again, He's finished with the churches. He's finished. He's finished with them. Come out. Come out from among them. All right, let's take a look at another one. Let's look at Joel. Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, and I'll start reading at verse 12. Therefore also now, saith Jehovah, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto Jehovah your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto Jehovah your God? This word mourning up here in verse 12, where it says weeping and with mourning, that's the same word for wailing in Amos chapter 6, the same word. So it's like, it's not like it's a happy thing that God would, just disband the churches, but look at what they have done toward who God is. We have his word. The churches are supposed to be the caretakers of his word. What happened? How did they get so corrupt? You go into 10 different churches, and there are 10 different ways for salvation. It's no wonder people get confused. And now God gets to the end of his word. His mercy endureth forever. His patience endures. But there comes a time when God cuts it off. He draws the line here. This is it. And they had all this time to get it together, or just to study his word. And even in the Old Testament, in the synagogues, they started going astray, adding their own doctrines into his word. And so, and today is so bad now. You don't know which door to go into. It's no wonder. But God is saying, okay, that's it. In Amos chapter 6, and all the vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith Jehovah. Now God is saying he's going to pass through the vineyard. So he's going to pass through the churches. See, the churches are the vineyards. We established that. And so now God is going to pass through. Well, what's he going to do when he passes through? Well, let's take a look at that phrase. Turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And I'll start reading at verse 12. He says, well, I'll start at verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord, it is Jehovah's Passover. For I will pass through, there's that phrase, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am Jehovah. Now he can't make it no plainer. When he passes through, he's coming to bring judgment. And that's exactly what he's bringing on the churches of our day. He's bringing judgment. He's passing through. Now, if you know that this is the institution of the Passover, where they put they had to kill a lamb and take some hyssop and put it. They put the blood in a basin, and then they would put the blood over the doorpost and the lintel. And God promised Moses and the people of Israel that when he comes through, to pass through, and he sees the blood, when he sees that blood, he's going to pass over that house. See, if you are, which is symbolical of really salvation, because he's saying you will not be destroyed. See, when he sees that blood, you will not be destroyed. Now, if you don't have the blood on your doorpost and lintel, then you will be destroyed. Now, this is the firstborn. When we really get into it, he did that to the firstborn. But it's just a picture of what he's going to do when judgment day gets here. See, because the believers, we have the blood symbolically over our doorposts and lintels. See, because the lamb, he would be the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, that they had to take his blood, and his blood was protecting them from the destroyer. And so it's all a type of salvation. But if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, that lamb's blood, over your house, you'll be destroyed. And so God is telling us way back in the beginning of the Bible here about salvation. And so, and he reiterates it again here in, he gives us a little more information in verse 23. And just flip over to verse 23 in Exodus chapter 12, and we'll read a little bit more. He says, "For Jehovah will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Jehovah will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye become to the land which the Lord, which Jehovah will give you, according as he has promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped." And so the children of Israel were commanded to keep this ordinance, to keep this feast. But we know that the Lord Jesus is our Passover feast. This feast day pointed to him on the cross. He gave his life on the cross for those, and then his blood was put over your house. If you are one of his children, your doorpost and lintel, see? And so we could see how God was orchestrating the gospel even way back there in Egypt, and how it ties in. Okay, so let's go back to Amos chapter 6. I'm sorry, Amos chapter 5. Okay, we're in verse 17. It says, "And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord." You see how he's bringing this judgment on the churches, is what verse 17 is talking about. Now, in verse 18, he says, "Woe unto you that desire the day of Jehovah. To what end is it for you? The day of Jehovah is darkness and not light." Now, this verse right here should make your hair stand up in the back of your neck. Now, first of all, we know that the rapture and judgment, the first day of judgment day, is the same day. So it's like a two-sided coin. It's like a two-sided coin. Now, we do, the believers, if you are a believer, you long for the day of the Lord, the day of Jehovah. Now, like I said, it's a two-sided coin. It's a day of darkness for the unsaved, and it's a day of light for the saved. But it's the same day, you see? And so here he says in verse 18, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord." Now, all of his children desire the day of the Lord. But he's saying, "Woe unto you." So that's a warning to us right there. Hey, wait a minute. Why would he be saying, "Woe unto me," and I'm waiting for him to come back? See, if your salvation is based on the precepts of men, now it's not going to be a happy time, a joyful time. Now we see why he's saying, "Whoa." He's talking to someone that thinks that he's saved. He or she really thinks that they're saved. Because I accepted Christ, I pay my dues, I work on the usher board, all this standing around I've done for all these years, of course I'm saved. Yes, I'm waiting for the Lord to come back. I'm waiting for him. Come back, Lord Jesus. But the Lord knows all about that. He knows exactly what's going on. And way back in the book of Amos, he's telling these people that are in the vineyards. See, because we started off talking about the vineyards, which is the churches. He's saying, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord." All right, let's substantiate that with scripture as far as what he's talking about. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, now this is the we want to show that this is the day in these verses here of the rapture, day of the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'll start reading at verse 16. He says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, people that are still in the churches, they read this, and the first thing is, glory be. When the Lord comes back, can't wait till he comes back. He's going to take me back with him. Now, if you are a true believer, this is a joyous time. Don't misunderstand me now. It is a joyous time for the believer, because we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and the Bible, and so we'll forever be with the Lord. As it is, I think it says that it's worded like that in 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. That's like a sister verse to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at 51, 52, and we'll read 53 also. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so, this is talking about the same event, which is the rapture of our bodies. Now, he talks about those that are alive, what happens to them, and the ones that are have gone to sleep, the ones that are, have passed on. They'll rise first, and then we which are remain and are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So either way, you'll be there up in the air with the Lord. Either way, if you pass on and you're saved, that's what's going to happen. If you're alive when May 21st, 2011 gets here, you'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The Lord tells us in these, he expounds in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so it's a joyous time for the true believer. Now, if your salvation is based on Christ alone, his word alone, in other words, salvation is of the Lord. I have nothing to do with my salvation, nothing. See, if your salvation starts off with all I had to do is, there's a problem there. And you can say what you want, be baptized, speak in tongues. It's a whole list you could say. Accepted Christ, we went through that, and we could go through a long list of those different things. See, those are precepts of men. Precepts of men. And God is warning us that we must know that salvation is of the Lord, 100%, 100%. And see, for if you've been brought up with the Bible, then basically when you were young, some of us that are as old as I am, when you were young, you were taught what you went to the church and you sat there and they taught you. They taught you the doctrines of that particular church or denomination that you went to. And we trusted them. And that's the way it is for people that are still in the church. They would rather trust, put their trust in the doctrines of the church that they were taught rather than what God is teaching. And that's where the crossroad is. And so God gives the command to come out. Come out. So that's why only the true believers will come out. Now, I'm not saying that there are no true believers still there. There may be quite a few there. I don't know. I'm not in charge of that. God is. That's his plan. He's doing that. So we have to leave that alone. But what happens is, and just because you do come out, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a believer either. See? Oh, I came out, so therefore, you know, I'm a believer. No, no, no. It doesn't mean that either. But the bottom line is are you going to obey what God has to say, or are you going to believe what your church is teaching you? See, who's right? Who has the corner, so to speak, on truth? See, because they'll read a verse like, you know, the church is the pillar and ground of truth. Well, you got to be careful with that verse. You have to be careful with it because God is the pillar and ground of truth, not the churches. Because how can you have 10 different churches teaching 10 different things? There's something wrong with that. But God in his word teaches the same thing over and over and over again. And so we know that our salvation is based on Christ, his word, where Christ and his word is one. We can't separate them. Nothing that I can do to become saved. And we're going to close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your goodness. Father, we ask that you would take your word, Lord, as you will, and apply it to whoever you will. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you do hear us and that you do all things after the counsel of your will. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll take a 15...